What are the end times? Furthermore, what events should we be on the lookout for that tell us that we're closer to the return of Jesus? Let's talk about it. Hey everyone, my name is Peter Pettis III. I serve here at Grace of God Community Church, located in Carrizo Springs, Texas. We're a teaching ministry who are dedicated to helping fellow followers of Jesus grow in the knowledge of who He is and in the knowledge of the Scriptures. We also have a sister podcast ministry called Jesus for Israel Podcast, where we discuss all things related to Jesus, the Bible, Israel, and the end times. You can find us on all podcast platforms. So if you want more information on that, we want to encourage you to go and listen and share. And if you're here local in our community, feel free to join us to worship, serve, pray, and learn as we study the Scriptures. Now, the goal of every believer in Jesus who has made a confession of faith should be to gradually mature past our introduction of the basics of our salvation and on into our growth in God's Word. Now, this happens by reading God's Word daily. In the midst of attending a local congregation to pray, worship, fellowship, and serve one another and our community in the Spirit of Christ, we are also instructed in the Scriptures to live in expectation of Christ's soon return. Listen to what the writer of the book of Hebrews and the Apostle John say about this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope," he writes, "without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." In other words, the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't forget about the confession that you made. Hold fast to it without wavering, because God, who made all of these promises that we believe in, will be faithful to those promises. Keep loving one another. Keep doing good works. Keep assembling. And do that even more, the writer of Hebrews says, in light of the fact that Jesus is soon returning. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, the Apostle John writes this, "And now, little children, abide in him," meaning Jesus, "that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Now, in these passages, both writers are urging fellow believers to remain mindful, to be mindful of how to live in the present while expecting Jesus to return. Being saved and gathering with other believers to gradually mature in all aspects was part of the first part of the journey. That's all part of the first part of the journey. The rest of the journey is to continue in the faith and to wait for Jesus' return. That is every believer's call. Now, Jesus told his followers to watch and pray so they could be aware of the signs of his return. Now, the problem for many of us is that we just don't know what the Bible says about the signs of Jesus' return. The other issues we run to is the diversity of denominational interpretations of the end times that make it cloudy and confusing to understand. Now, the truth is that there is a simple way to begin navigating what the end times are and the events that lead up to the return of Jesus. In this study, we're going to just begin with the simple starting points. We'll hold off momentarily on denominational differences and interpretations, and as we progress, we'll answer more questions and we'll fill in some details. Now, every serious believer should seek to understand end times prophecy. God wants us to know what He is doing and what the future holds so we can have hope and be prepared. Now that the war has broken out in Israel, many are being alerted to the fact that we must know what is going on and how it connects us to Jesus' return. So in our last three discussions, we learned about the biblical teaching of the second coming of Jesus. We explored the what, the why, and the where questions regarding the second coming of Jesus in our introductory study of the end times. In this study, we'll talk about what the end times are. So what is end time study? Very simply, it's the study of end time events leading up to the return of Jesus. In other words, if you want to know what is going to happen in the future before Jesus returns, you must study the passages of the Bible that discuss it. Now, while many find this area of study confusing, understandably so, the Bible describes these events in great detail. Before we continue, something we must understand about the events of the end times and the return of Jesus is that, number one, the Bible does not tell us that the world is coming to an end. Instead, the Bible actually points to the end of an age of darkness that is presently characterized by sin, evil, and ruled by Satan, and the introduction of a new one characterized by righteousness, justice, and peace, with Jesus as its ruler along with his people who will enjoy the fruits of this new world for eternity. Number two, the Bible tells us that the beginning of this present age is passing away, and it began at the cross when Jesus gave up his life. This present evil age will finally end when Jesus returns, known as the day of the Lord or the day of Christ, the day of God, when he then ushers in this promised new world we as believers are actually waiting for. So what events does the Bible point to that tell us that we're near to the return of Jesus? Now, before we answer these questions briefly, it must be emphasized that the return of Jesus and the end times center around what happens in Israel leading up to his return. Yes, that same land and same people still there in the Middle East today. And you can't forget that. There are no, quote, end times without Israel. End times prophecy without Israel is not prophecy. And every Bible scholar knows this. Without this foundational understanding, you will be left open to confusion and even deception. Israel, as it's been said many, many times, is God's time clock. Israel the land, Israel the people, and Jerusalem the city is the end time stage where Jesus will make himself known to the world. Let me repeat that. Israel the land, Israel the people, and Jerusalem the city is the end time stage where Jesus will make himself known to the world. Why? Because when Jesus returns, as we learned in our previous three studies, he's returning to that geographical location in the earth. So with that being said, let's look at the basic but major events and figures that the Bible reveals to us to be on the lookout for. Let's look at some of these basic events and figures. Number one, as we open up the Bible and we look at what is discussed and pointed to that are major and the figures that come into play. Number one, we're told throughout the narrative of Scripture that as we lead up to the return of Jesus, there will be a mass return of Jews to the land of Israel. And the prophets speak a lot about this event, especially in the Torah, or known as the Law. Next, we're told that there will be, quote, birth pains, as Jesus stated in Matthew 24, meaning events that will signal that we are getting closer to Jesus' return. These events will start and grow in magnitude, such as false messiahs will continue to rise, wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, increased pestilences and earthquakes. And Jesus tells us that this is just the beginning. Believers will face increased persecution, lawlessness will surge, the love of others will grow cold, meaning the love and honor of God will diminish to such an extent where evil becomes rampant. Many will lose their faith. Countless people will betray one another. The gospel of the kingdom will also reach the whole world before Jesus returns, and this is documented for us by Jesus himself in Matthew 24. So as I mentioned, Israel must return to the land. This was a huge end time signal in May 14, 1948, after being scattered for hundreds of years, miraculously coming back into the land. These other events could not take place unless they were back in the land first. Now, other events that we have to look out for after this first event with the Jewish people coming back into the land is now next on the horizon is that there has to be an end time Antichrist figure who is empowered by Satan, who will make a 7-year covenant of peace, a treaty of peace with Israel. We're told that Israel will feel secure at that time, possibly because of the covenant they and others have signed with this end time figure, this Antichrist. Later on, as we continue in these studies, we're going to look at these scriptures a little bit closely so we can see them for ourselves. Other events will also include another temple, a third temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Next, we're told that the Antichrist will break this covenant with Israel that was established, and then worldwide persecution of Israel will result among Israel and other believers. And we'll see other things happen, like Israel being invaded. Next, at the end of this time of great tribulation, as it's called in Matthew 24 and in Jeremiah 30, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. We're told that the Antichrist will launch a final attack on Jerusalem. Again, here we go, pointing us to the location, the area in the earth, which will culminate in what's called the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus Christ will return. He'll destroy the Antichrist and his armies and then cast them into the lake of fire, as we're told in Revelation 19 and 20. In our last points, other events, major events, as we lead up to the return of Jesus and then the fullness of everything promised to us as believers, we're also told in the Bible that those who have yet to believe in Jesus in Israel will finally recognize Jesus as their Messiah, as Zechariah 12 verse 10 says. Israel will be regenerated, restored, and regathered. And all the nations will know. We're told this in Romans chapter 11. Paul writes about it, and in Ezekiel 37. After these events, we're also told that Christ will then bind Satan in what's called the abyss. This is a holding place for 1,000 years. And he will rule, and Jesus will rule his earthly kingdom for this 1,000-year period. Revelation 20 tells us this. Our final 2 points: at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be released, defeated again, and then cast into the lake of fire for eternity. After this, Christ then judges all unbelievers at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, casting them all into the lake of fire. Christ will then usher in a new heaven, a new earth, and the new Jerusalem, the eternal dwelling place for believers. And we're told in Revelation chapters 21 through 22 that this is basically the wrap-up, the culmination of this entire salvation story. And in this world, new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem, there will be no more sin, sorrow, or death. Now, if you're listening to me in this study, these points might be hard to grasp right now, but these major events and figures that I just discussed are the events on the horizon. Many of them we have begun to see happen even now. Nations are shifting, events are shifting, things are happening right now in our day. And so it's important that we understand these events, because then we'll be able to see what is on the horizon for us as believers. Now, these points that I just mentioned above, they're the basic events and figures that we must all be familiar with to begin to navigate what the Bible says about the end times. Knowing them to the best of our ability, and I emphasize to the best of our ability, because we'll get out of it as much as we put in. And all of us are different learning curves and understandings. But if we know them to the best of our ability, it'll give us confidence to be effective witnesses, number one, and to have hope that God is in control. And that's important, because when it looks like the whole world is falling apart around us, it can be easy to forget that, you know, that God is in control of what's happening. Now, all of the in-between details, such as the future resurrection of dead believers and our gathering together to Jesus, will be more understandable when we comprehend the above events first. So don't get bogged down with all the details just yet. Understand that God always lets his people know what he's doing. He left us a record of who he is, what he has done, and what he will do in the future. Now, the events of the end times are not just random events. Listen to me carefully. They're not just random events. They are divine and guided events by a God who is personal and involved in our world. He is the author of history. Knowing what God will do helps us to live life in obedience to God and expectant for the return of Jesus. Hearing the gospel today also lets the whole world know that Jesus, the King of the universe, is returning and biblically requires a response to the gospel. Knowing this, let us live as eschatological believers today, meaning believers who live every day in light of Jesus' return. If you've heard this, and maybe you've been looking at all these events happening in our world, understand, as we have discussed today, that as humankind, we have free will. And as we look at the things that are up ahead, we ask ourselves, why would so many things that are bad continue to happen if God is in control? The reality is, as human beings, we have the free will to choose God or reject him, to choose his love or reject his love, to choose the salvation he has provided or reject that salvation, to humble ourselves to him or to remain in pride, to have our hearts softened by him and his Holy Spirit, or to let our hearts remain hard. We can let the events bring us closer to God, or they can drive us further from God. And the reality is, most of us understand, unless everything goes dark and we're in a place where we have nowhere else to go or to look up, that only at that point will we search for God. The Bible tells us very clearly that he's patient, and that from the time he ascended to present, the gospel, the good news of who he is, his kingdom, his name, has been going forth. And that before he pours out any righteous judgment, he always does so at the appropriate, proper, perfect time. And so this call out to you today is for you to listen to all this information, and I pray that the Lord softens your heart and that you understand that Jesus is real. His word is true. He is returning. And he commands all of us to submit our lives to him, to repent, to turn from our sin. And when we do that, he'll grant us eternal life, a gift. And what that does is let us know that no matter what happens in this world, that we'll be okay and that he is in control. Turn to Jesus today. God bless you.